Anandana Prajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Gaur Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Gaur Hari Bol Jai Jai Prabhupad 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 Jai Prabhupad Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Asto Tarasata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Abhay Charan Aravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Yuga Dharma Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udhirayat nashta prayeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 4, Text 43. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmin Mahabhagavate. Mahabhage Mahatmani. Hiranyakashipu Rajan. Akarod Agham Atmaje. Tasmin Mahabhagavate. Mahabhage Mahatmani. Hiranyakashipu Rajan. Akarod Agham Atmaje. Mahabhagavate. Yakashipu Rajan. Bhagavate. Hiranyakashipu Rajan. Tasmin Mahabhagavate. Mahabhagavate Mahatmani. Word for word synonyms. Tasmin unto him. Mahabhagavate. An exalted devotee of the Lord. Mahabhage, most fortunate. Mahatmani, whose mind was very broad. Hiranyakashipu, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Rajan, O king. Akarot, performed. Agham, very great sin. Atmaje, to his own son. Translation: my dear King Yudhishthira, the demon Hiranyakashipu tormented this exalted, fortunate devotee, although Prahlad was his own son. Please repeat: my dear King Yudhishthira, the demon Hiranyakashipu tormented this exalted, fortunate devotee, although Prahlad was his own son. purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When a demon like Hiranyakashipu, despite his elevated position, due to severe austerities, begins to tease a devotee, he begins falling down, and the results of his austerities dwindle. One who oppresses a pure devotee loses all the results of his austerities, penances, and pious activities. Since Hiranyakashipu was now inclined to chastise his most exalted devotee son, Prahlad Maharaj, his opulences began dwindling. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ninitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirase Sasunyavadi Paschata Dezitarane. So, this chapter is entitled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. And we heard how he came to that position through his austerities and benediction of Lord Brahma, and how it became intolerable for the residents all over the universe, from lower to higher, and how they came to the end of their tolerance, and it's described finally surrendered to take shelter of Lord Vishnu, offering prayers and glorification. And then, this is connecting this description with what was revealed. Then an unembodied voice from the sky, we've heard just previous verses, spoke to those exalted personalities, including the demigods, that we know the situation at hand, that Hiranyakashipu is becoming intolerable for all of you, and essentially was stated, when he comes to the point of torturing his son Prahlad, I will come and kill him. And so, at that point, the residents, the demigods, and all others described, understood that Hiranyakashipu was as good as dead. So they became peaceful and went on about their duties. So here, reiterating that Hiranyakashipu tormented his exalted, fortunate devotee, although Prahlad was his own son, emphasizes here, and we heard previous verses, the greatness of Prahlad Maharaj, and here it's also reiterated, Mahabhagavate, Mahabhage, and Mahatmani. An exalted devotee of the Lord, most fortunate, very broad-minded. And yesterday we heard the wonderful description of how Prahlad was so absorbed. He was such an exalted Mahabhagavat devotee that he was absorbed in love of Krishna. He was absorbed in Krishna prema. And all these ecstatic symptoms were continuously coming, manifesting in his body. And he was unaffected by this, the association of his demoniac father. And due to his own very exalted qualities, just by seeing him, his schoolmate associates, their mind and hearts were changed just by his association. Very wonderful. And we heard yesterday a nice description quoting from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Jiva Goswami, how by Prahlad's influence and by the influence of any exalted devotee like this, but specifically here in this pastime, the hearts, just by his association, the hearts of the previously asuric, demoniac sons of the demons, the children, their subtle body was changed. You know, so real change of heart was affected by Prahlad. And they were able to sit and hear him with rapt attention and also take to the path of Vishnu Bhakti. So, anyway, I'd like to go to the next verse. This is a simple point. connecting the pastimes and what's to happen next. I'll just chant the next verse, 44. Sri Yudhishthira Uvacha Devarsha etat ichamo veditum tava suvrata yad atma jaya shudhaya pita dat sadhave yagam. Translation is, Maharaj Yudhishthira said, O best of the saints among the demigods, O best of spiritual leaders, how did Hiranyakashipu give so much trouble to Prahlad Maharaj, the pure and exalted saint, although Prahlad was his own son? I wish to know about this subject from you. So here, Yudhishthira has heard this description. And now he's inquiring. Who's he inquiring from? Narada Muni. I'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport. To know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the characteristics of his pure devotee, one must inquire from authorities like Devarshi Narada. One cannot inquire about transcendental subject matters from a layman. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, 25th chapter, Satam prasangan mamavirya samvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha. Only by association with devotees can one authoritatively understand the position of the Lord and his devotees. A devotee like Narada Muni is addressed as Suvrata. Su means good, and Vrata means vow. Thus, the word Suvrata refers to a person who has nothing to do with the material world, which is always bad. One cannot understand anything spiritual from a materialistic scholar puffed up with academic knowledge. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati, one must try to understand Krishna by devotional service and from a devotee. Therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj was quite right in wanting to learn further about Prahlad Maharaj from Sri Narada Muni. So, Prabhupada is picking up the essential point. This is standard throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Questions which facilitate hearing about Krishna. Questions and answers. And Maharaj Yudhishthira is he's heard the situation now, and he's kind of in disbelief how this personality of Hiranyakashipu could torture, one, his own son, and two, such an exalted devotee, as was brought up yesterday in yesterday's class. Parents in general cannot think unfavorably about their children. They think their children are something special. So not to speak of a child who was extremely special, somebody who is so powerful that just by his association, the hearts of others could change from asura to sura, from the demon to the devotee nature. Such a powerful personality. So Maharaj, here, two people are interacting. There's Devarshi, the sage amongst the demigods, and then there's the Rajarshi, Maharaj Yudhishthira, both devotees. But the example is there that Maharaj Yudhishthira, exalted devotee, but he's inquiring from another who is, he considers, his superior, is his superior. And thus, the truth of the pastime, which is very deep and a little complex, will be revealed. And Krishna, this is a standard standard process that Krishna is recommending, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. So inquiring from someone who has understood or seen the truth, only he can give the truth. So Maharaj Yudhishthira, he's expressing he lacks understanding. How can this go on? How can this be that Hiranyakashipu is torturing his own son to the point of wanting to kill him? So he's inquiring. And this is Srimad Bhagavatam. As it begins, and right in the beginning, Sudha Goswami's expressing to the sages of Naimisharanya. He's saying, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are relevant to the world's welfare. And only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. And in the very next verse, he expands on that, the famous verse of Vaipung Samparo Dharmo, Yato Bhaktir Adhoksaje, Ahaitikiya Pratyataya Yatma Supratsidati. So, the previous verse ends Yatma Supratsidati, and the next verse, the supreme occupation for all humanity is that which can bring, men can attain to the loving devotional service of the Lord. And that's qualified by it must be unmotivated, interrupted in order to completely satisfy the self, yayatma supersedity. So this process of hearing about the Lord and his devotee will completely satisfy the self, and beyond that, purify the heart and inspire us to go forward and follow the path of the pure devotees, the path of unalloyed devotional service, that paradharma. Mukundanath Prabhu yesterday was explaining before we can seriously and continuously, uninterruptedly, inquire about spiritual life, atato brahma jigyasa, we have to have atato dharma jigyasa. We have to inquire about dharma. We have to be come to the platform of being dharmic. So, therefore this verse, that which, the supreme dharma is that which can, by which all of humanity can attain to loving devotional service to the Lord. So therefore, in this verse, Prabhupada picked out this wonderful verse from third canto. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido. Bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata. I'll read this whole verse to you. It's very, very descriptive. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. So this is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam, that just by hearing it, we're becoming purified. Shrinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridiyantak stohe badrani vidunoti saritsatam, that Krishna is pleased but just by our hearing, regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And he, as the super soul, is purifying the heart from within. He is, as our best friend, he is doing that which we can't do ourselves. He is actually purifying the heart. And this is the principle of advancing in devotional service. Only by pure devotional service can we understand Krishna. But only in the association of devotees can we advance in pure devotional service, performing the initial activities of hearing and chanting. Can we, only in the association of devotees, can we effectively take up the process? Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is a process. So, yesterday's discussion also, I'm thinking how the point of us becoming fixed in just sambandha jnana, understanding our relationship, becoming actually convinced of that, is dependent on the association of devotees, proper hearing and chanting. Otherwise, we won't continue the process of abhideya, of sadhana bhakti, so that we become actually fixed in devotional service, proceed through bhajana kriya and anartha nivritti to the point of nishta, to becoming fixed. And until we become fixed and steady in devotional service, there's no question of getting a taste that will prevent us from falling back, again becoming attracted to material taste, and then automatically going forward in the remaining processes of devotional service to the point of Krishna prema. So, nashta prayeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, by regularly engaging in Krishna kirtan and Krishna katha, the heart will become practically all unwanted things will be destroyed, this verse says, practically to nil. And devotional service becomes established as a real permanent fact in our life. So the inspiration I got from these verses is the essence, as Prabhupada took off on the essence of how hearing about the Lord in association with devotees, it's very, very tasteful. So, point is how to continue with this for our whole life, how to be successful without losing taste. And Prabhupada gave us that. He said we established the society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, for the purpose of regularly getting association of devotees. And he gave us the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, so we could regularly hear and become purified. So we should ask ourselves the question, how will I be able to do that for my whole life? So Prabhupada gave us local centers, his temples. So this is a community of devotees. And this is how the movement powerfully started off with communities of devotees. And they were, community means common or commune. So we have a common center here. This is a cultural center where Krishna is in the center. And the process of devotional service is going on very strongly. Even if I am weak in a certain area or am unsteady, anishta, then in the association devotee, I'll be carried through my weak points. And at the next moment, I'll feel enthusiasm and go on. So this is the invaluable thing, how to, in the association devotees, how to go on and continually make advancement for our whole life. And as Mukundanath Prabhu brought up yesterday, he brought this idea of Varnashram Dharma, which would facilitate the Vedic material structure for facilitating a bigger group of devotees to go on lifelong working according to their propensity and their needs, materially speaking, in association where Krishna is the center. It's actually Daivi Vanashram Dharma, where Krishna becomes the center. Instead of because of the demands, which is standard program, to desire family life, therefore occupation and economic demands takes one and whole families away from the concentrated association of devotees where, like this, we can every morning Nasta Preshu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya hear and chant about Krishna in a very potent way and become purified so that very interesting point that's being discussed amongst devotees and how Prabhupada encouraged us in that way. And it's been hitting me very strongly recently. I've been associated with this temple for, I think, 35 years now. And if you take pictures year by year of the population of this community, it's progressively changed. People have come and gone, come and gone. So we can ask, did they not understand the principle of this association, this great opportunity of regularly associating with devotees, hearing Krishna Katha, hearing, getting the association of personalities like Prahlad Maharaj, Narada Muni, on down the line, numerous powerful devotees. Just by hearing about them, the heart is purified. And we're here at the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna's here. Kishore Kishori is here. Chaitanya Nityananda are here. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra are here. They're giving their prasadam. So Because of material needs, people need bigger facility. Therefore, the Varnashram idea is very, very wonderful idea. It's a very big, a bigger idea that Prabhupada was encouraging, where individuals can simultaneously progress in their material life. We automatically will do that because we're, especially most of us are coming from very unpurified life, not even adharmic life. That point was being made yesterday. Not growing up with all these sangskaras that should have been given. So therefore, we'll need to pursue, and practically everyone, pursue family life, therefore economic necessities, and home and school and so many things. So this Varnashram idea based on living with ample land and cows and is a very expanded idea by which to facilitate this principle of lifelong Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, lifelong association of devotees. Lord Chaitanya gave us these principles, these five main principles of angas of bhakti, the limbs of bhakti, which are sadhusanga, nam kirtan, bhagavat shravana, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, living in the holy place, and worshipping the deity. We have all of that right here, right now. This is a holy place. We're worshipping the deity. We have the association of devotees, nam kirtan, and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, how to make that sustainable? And that bigger idea of Varnashram culture with land and cow, creating a village, a transcendental village where devotees can live, and we can successfully, we can work with devotees, not with non-devotees. We can bring up our children with other devotee children. We can grow our own vegetables, fruits, grains, flowers, and offer to the deity. Prabhupada said, there's a quote where he says, this is real devotion, to grow your own foodstuffs that you're offering to the deity, and pure milk from protected cows. So one may challenge, well, this is a material arrangement. But yes, it is. But we're all, whether we're in the temple or somewhere else, it's all a material arrangement. But it's a very more sustainable arrangement where everything becomes centered on Krishna. And even those who are not staunch and austere enough to follow a brahminical mode, which is basically what's going on here in the temple, they can flourish in association of devotees by working according to their propensity and regularly getting hearing and chanting and having discussion amongst devotees. We can appreciate what it's like to be with devotees. Yesterday afternoon I just went for just a little prasadam. Harinam party had come back, and as we're all experienced, here's a group of devotees sitting, and Jai Jagannath is, you know, very enthusiastically explaining a very wonderful point about what does the form of bhakti look like. And he was talking about what is it? Who was there? Um, Vritrasura. Okay, here's Vritrasura, a great devotee, but he's taking the role of a demon. this huge form, and he's fighting with the demons, stomping, putting his feet, stomping on the demigods. And he's saying, this is a devotee, you know, and he's an embodiment of bhakti is within his heart. And it's very confusing. We have to be able to hear these pastimes and explanations and hear this wonderful discussion about pure bhakti is going on just at some odd time of the day with devotees because they're associating and they have some advanced devotee who has a great taste for hearing and chanting about the Lord and repeating that which he has heard. So devotees are very enlivened. And this is what makes our devotional service sustainable, that somehow or other, it can be here or there, but a community of devotees that stay together and develop loving and trusting relationships, and they naturally share these discussions about Krishna. There's one other point I wanted to make. Prabhupada explains a devotee like Narada Muni is addressed as Suvrata. Su means good and Vrata means vow. Thus, the word Suvrata refers to a person who has nothing to do with the material world, which is always bad. So how to understand this? There's a nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I always appreciated, by spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. He says, Dvaite Badra Badra Jnana Sarva Mano Dharma A Bala A Manda A Sabha Brahma. So, I'll just read this. In the material world, conceptions of good and bad are all monodharma, mental concoctions. Therefore, saying this is good and this is bad is all a mistake. A sabha brahma. So, we think this is good, this is bad. All bad, because we're in the material conception. It's all relative. Only when we make things overshadowed, and as Prabhupada said, utility is the principle. Use everything in the service of the Lord, then things become good. Things become an individual can be Suvrata. He's taken a vow to make his whole life Krishna conscious and everything he does for the service connected with the Lord. And therefore, more and more naturally, by hearing and chanting, he becomes more and more attracted to practicing unalloyed devotional service. So from impurity, purity will come if we take advantage of the principle of association and direct hearing and chanting from Srimad Bhagavatam and other bhakti shastras. So maybe I'll stop there if there's any discussion. Would you?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your nice class, Prabhu. Picking up on this point of varnashram, it makes perfect sense to me why having a more motive goodness atmosphere will facilitate perhaps a healthier state of mind, better interactions amongst devotees. The question that comes up for me is that most of our communities, most of our temples are in the cities, and most of our devotees are probably quite attached to city life, the conveniences of city life, the mode of passion, like that. So while you can have a few, you know, individuals who are willing to sort of sacrifice that and live in an idyllic, you know, farm atmosphere for the sake of their spiritual life, many may not be able to do that. And on top of that, what I've noticed is usually varna is something that you naturally gravitate towards in terms of your qualities. But ashram is a little bit harder to regulate, and also, simple example, right? For example, you could say people like us, we're like quote-unquote brahmacharis, right? But for the sake of the preaching mission, we may interact very casually with women. We may even have to deal with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We're not living in the ashram of the guru, and the guru says, come and eat, and then we go and eat, mm-hmm. for example. Or grihasthas living in the city, they may not be able to give 50%. They may not be able to always invite saintly persons to their households and give them charity and feed them and things like that. Sannyasis have to do so many things that traditional sannyasis wouldn't do. So ashram is a little bit more complicated, and further complicated by the fact that we have to exist in the city environment to sort of preach. So those who can sort of leave all that and go live out in the country and you know, and do that, that's great, fantastic, if you're able to do that. And you'll probably, you know, under the guidance of some senior devotee, probably do great. But what about those who are living in the cities, either because they're attached or because it's their service? Some people have to manage the temples. So what about the training or the introduction of Varnashram for those people? Like, because for example, Dwarka, Hastinapur, Mathura, I'm sure there were cities, mm-hmm. you know, 5,000 years ago. So that means there is an application of Varnashram in a city environment. And I'm just wondering what that would look like, and also specifically for the ashrams.
So, major point is that both situations will remain. We're not trying to exclude temple situation. We're just trying to expand the facility for community to a situation in the mode of goodness where all these other all varnas could be nicely engaged. It's not that we just want to take a few people out and live on a farm. It's a place where there's going to be multifarious businesses or industries going on to support it all, and all sorts of mentalities will be happily engaged there. And because of that, a more natural placement of, according to our psychophysical natures, would be facilitated. That's what one thing we're understanding. And it's a very gradual development. So those who are attached to being in the city and they have an occupation here, they, you know, we're not directing that everybody has to give it up. But if a more full, natural, peaceful, happy situation for living in association of devotees, working according to our propensity, which we need to develop that, being sensitive to directing our devotees how to work according to their propensity, then it would become more and more attractive. Prabhupada directed that that would be the major situation for families, bringing up children. It's very... City life is more materially demanding for bringing up a family, more especially if we analyze the situation stressful for bringing up children. And how, one point I was going to bring up then, how is our movement going to progress nicely? Prabhupada powerfully started this movement and Krishna sent him some very powerful and talented persons. And so Prabhupada has departed physically, and those powerful persons who have started and developed our movement, they're departing day by day, passing away. So it's actually up to the remaining devotees to pick up on that, on understanding the process and the mood And we have to be able to develop some very strong and powerful devotees. We have to be able to show a very attractive community of devotees who are practically living a lifestyle that's naturally facilitates Krishna consciousness in a very big spectrum of different personalities. So people can see that Krishna consciousness is practical for everyone. And we have to start bringing up generations of children that are very pure, very dharmic, and because they've been cultivated with the proper samskaras from the time of conception. So that's the positive thing for that picture and that direction. The city temples will go on, must go on. Prabhupada said they're preaching, there are bases for preaching and major cultural centers in the busy populated parts where we can facilitate so many people here. That's fine, and that's also needed. Tell me if there's something your question was a little bit bigger.
Personally, for me, you don't have to convince me on the benefits of having an ideal farm-based community of devotees engaged according to their varna. It makes perfect sense to me, and I think it's a great endeavor. Mm-hmm. I'm asking about how does varnashram, to be more specific, how does varnashram get applied in a city context? You know, for devotees living in cities and or managing temples or doing services in the cities. And specifically, my question is related to the ashram side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, like vanaprasthas, you know, how does a vanaprastha... I mean, first of all, there aren't that many vanaprasthas. Mm-hmm. And then if there were, how would they live but serving in cities, you know? And it's like that, all the ashrams.
So there's a lot of details to that, but my response would be specifically, devotees who are experienced enough, educated enough to guide the others, and I think this has been a failing, to help individuals progress in their Krishna consciousness and in their, in a varna, so to speak, according to their nature, in the association of devotees, whether it's a temple situation or not. It means very personal guidance by experienced devotees. I was just sitting hearing from Mukundadat yesterday, and I was just thinking, wow, here's a very qualified brahmana. He could talk about anything. He could direct anybody, give helpful personal directions. I'll share something. He came here, these are his notes, quoting from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami. It's all Sanskrit. I was thinking, wow. Leadership, things will go on by qualified brahmanas and kshatriyas. Our movement is very much lacking in qualified brahmanas and kshatriyas. So part of varnashram idea, and Prabhupada, every time almost Prabhupada talked about this, he would talk about varnashram college. So as we train brahmanas, successfully train brahmanas and kshatriyas, everything will go on nicely, whether it's city or rural project. I'm not trying to be fanatic about rural project. But no, it's a very good question. And wherever we are, whatever situation we're in, we need guidance. We need senior devotee. Traditionally, it was the young brahmachari going to Gurukula, and the spiritual master, that's one of his functions, he would direct him. He would be able to pick out his varna, and then dictate, okay, what ashram you should be in at what point in time. So, another difficulty today. Some of our present spiritual masters have thousands of disciples, and there's not that personal an interaction. So therefore, whether it's city or country, you need a local brahmana who can, in conjunction with the kshatriya, the managers, who can really personally direct everybody for their personal benefit, not just out of convenience for, you know, the external project that's going on, but they have to be very personal. Therefore, they have to be experienced. Prabhupada said, Brahmana means broad-minded. We have to have a big picture. Is that okay? Any other quick questions? Okay, thank you for listening. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.